This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp with 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, coming to you with another important update from the Sacred Stone Camp at Standing Rock Sioux Reservation.
Independent journalist Sarah Long posted, October 12th, Attention White Allies at Standing Rock. At Actions, please step forward and place your bodies between KFYR-TV News, anchors, cameras, and the action. And remind them gently, but firmly, that they are under no circumstances allowed to film the actions of water protectors on site. Remain in front of them and prevent them from filming in an audience-friendly way throughout the action. Yesterday, KFYR did a story in which they attempted to portray Native water protectors as violent because protectors were trying to keep KFYR, which has a history of one-sided and racist portrayals of events, from filming them and once again giving only one side of the story. They gave no context for being told to leave, that water protectors have had it with their misrepresentation and misconstruing of events. We will not tolerate it any longer. KFYR has repeatedly and excessively abused the privilege of having a large mainstream television audience. If they want to portray one side of something, they can portray one side of the jackets white allies are wearing that day. Please share this far and wide. Thank you.
Now we will hear from Myron Dewey, who is a filmmaker, youth media trainer, historical trauma trainer at Digital Smoke Signals. You will hear his morning greeting.
Dog dog hoga haga yakima a pija a wat more and an ish to hai a wat more humira pija numashinami yarua mogoi humira numaga listen all our relatives in the four directions. That's what I hear waking up in the morning. There's songs and someone praying above camp early in the morning like that. Na pija tumia in a good way. So I want to say good morning to everyone in all the four directions. And watching the Pija Awopmo is like the morning of breath. The breath is the breath of air. Good morning. Without that life, we wouldn't be here. So it's, we say that in a good way. Pija Nanishtahai Pa. Pija Pa. Blessing all the water. And today, as we do an action and just waking up to have clean drinking water, say that in a good way, relatives. All our relatives supporting in the four directions. When you start getting news feeds, you know, we're going to start posting even more accurate information for everyone to be able to share. Yesterday was more of an academic day. Met a lot of teachers and students and professors coming through the camp. And, you know, as we walk through to see who's with our camp, to make sure those right people are at the camp and educate them why they're there, that it's not just kind of a hobby for them or something exciting where all the Indians are gathering. It's more than that. So the role yesterday, which has been the role of my whole time, is to say, you know, you are indigenous. You listeners are indigenous. And where are you indigenous from? And so when we say, where are you indigenous from? We're saying that we're all indigenous from somewhere. So, Diapa, where I'm from is Akaitika. I'm a trout eater from the Walker River. My mom's side, I'm from Bishop Tribe. And also Timok Shoshone. My relatives, my roots go all the way through the Great Basin. And we can trace that back in thousands of years back through our food sources, through the way our patterns are, through the water tables, through the traditional stories that go on there. So the people I spoke with yesterday, all the students, we found out, I says, introduce yourselves. And the rule is not to say I'm from Kentucky, Canada, I'm from California, New York. The rule here is to connect you back to your roots. And I need you to think about this when it comes to your turn, pass, if you don't have the answer, is to say, where are you indigenous from? And the lesson is, as we went around and everyone struggled, I heard several mutts. A mutt, pick one of the ones that you identify with: German, Italian, Spanish, whatever it is. And these students, you know, they went all the way around the circle. The reason is we have a Dakota Access Pipeline entity that has lost its connection, its spirit to the earth. Our teaching right there was, would they go through the military cemetery 15 miles down the road? Would they go through with their bulldozers through that cemetery that's on the other side of the National Guard barricade? The teaching is to help them educate themselves and their surrounding circles on what indigenous means and why is it that we are here as indigenous people protecting and always protecting the water and the sacred. And so it was interesting to hear the students not hear it in this scenario. And our goal is to help Dakota Access Pipeline and all the workers in private security and also the officers that are protecting that pipeline that get connected to the earth, get reestablish your reconnection to Mother Earth, and you'll understand why we are fighting to protect the water in a good way in prayer. Why we are fighting in prayer. And as we watch the sunrise this morning, this is what it's about. Napija Owotmoa, greeting the day in a good way. So these come in here with good thoughts, and we're going to send it that way on Indigenous Peoples Day today. One of the most powerful days is every single day. So this day is for you, Indigenous people in North America, South America, Western Europe, Ireland, Alaska, Canada. This is your day today. And it's, we want you to share it with all your relatives on what indigenous means and trace your roots back. And when you understand that, it's easier to stay planted and connected to the land and connected to the water, connected to your food source. But most of all, stay connected to each other in a good way. So that's the teaching this morning, relatives, that we hear a lot around here and we're sharing with each other is this beautiful, beautiful way that we're experiencing together with a good spirit. But also in the next few days, the camp is expanding and there's so many people coming in, so it's going to have another overflow. But what we need from you, all you movie stars, and you know, I saw a really cool picture with The Rock saying water is life. And we want to invite you down here, relative, take you on an action with us to protect the water. So I know one of you guys know The Rock. Get a hold of him and let's get him down here. And we challenge you guys to come down and stand beside us for a week at least in this camp and help us rebuild this camp and expand this camp. This camp is too big and it needs an overflow again. This will be the second overflow. And so our relatives are coming in, and yesterday they came in from Flint. I want to say thank you guys. Many blessings to you for the tent. We're going to use that tent to house our media team right there. And wow, it's just amazing. The Long Johns, thank you, thank you, thank you. On an action last night, those Long Johns came in handy, and we're protecting our water. We're making sure that our water is okay. So this is good what you guys are sending us in a good way. Hand warmers was another one. Waterproof things. So we got some waterproof sprays to waterproof our boots and things like that. And let's say good morning, good morning. The students are here. I want to say, I'm not going to mention their names, but several students from Bismarck wanted to come and witness what was happening here, and I got to speak with them and share with them, and their Bismarck is newspaper, they said, has given them a different message. They also named the officers. They know them personally, and I decided not to do that publicly, to name them. We all know who they are. They felt that was okay because they're public officers, and they agreed that when they cover up their identity, they become private security. And so the teachers there, you know, they thought that was a different way of looking at it, and they liked the way, you know, we're saying when our public officials no longer become identified, they're no longer the public officials. And when they're identified as around the areas of bullying, which I was, in a sense, bullied, in a sense, intimidated in the areas where all the officers were at. And the way they blocked it off all the way around and came rolling in and stopping and getting out and their hands on their you know, their hips where their weapons are, it's a form of intimidation that they use. So intellectual warriors and warriors were all in the four directions. And even the ones coming in that are tending the fire are coming in to help tend that fire. And I want to thank you young people for coming in from Bismarck to educate yourself and to witness for yourself with your own two puis, your own two eyes, the Yadawa and the earth, and what you witnessed as you came in and you stopped, and you had that strength to do that. And I want to say thank you guys from as many people from Bismarck that are coming in and contacting us and sharing with us the identity of these officers. They feel the same way. These officers are doing, stepping outside the boundaries of the law. And now they're watching them. And they're watching these officers. And some of these are neighbors of these officers, which just blew me away how much support we have here. And so I'll say that in a good way. Pija Tumia. Going a good way. Today you are indigenous. You have always been indigenous. And share that message, relatives. Pija.
Lies in the mainstream media and the misconceptions of what people are doing at Sacred Stone Camp is having an effect across the country. Indigenous people and non-native people are joining forces to pray for water and to come together at Sacred Stone Camp to stop the black snake. This week in Reno, Nevada, there was a rally held for Indigenous People's Day, and Maylee Sa Robles Dyer was there. A pickup truck came up to the demonstration and ran over people. She was very affected, and here is her testimony.
So my phone died, and I don't know if what I posted earlier went live or not. I'm just gonna catch my breath for a minute, and my phone was dead. I just got... All right, I need a minute. So... Okay, so the police were going to tow my car at the moment. So I'm now moved. They ran my license, my registration, my insurance. I'm good. So they took the woman that was hit to renown. She was a grandmother. She had her grandchildren at our rally. I'm going to try to stop. Hey, baby. I'm going to try to stop after this and go to the hospital to check on her. She was leaving for Standing Rock tomorrow. As far as I know, they caught the guys that hit her. This is what police are saying. Come to find out that they were at the rally. So during my live Facebook feed, there's two... Caucasian males that are in the background. They're sitting on the ledge. Those are the guys that hit into our crowd as we were peacefully, I can't even talk right now, as we were peacefully protesting with song and with prayer and with sage. They plowed into us. The majority of the people that they plowed into were females. The one, again, she is a grandmother. She was there with her grandkids. She was getting ready to go to Standing Rock tomorrow to stand with our relatives. And she was hit tonight. My car was parked on the plaza. One of the guys came back and said that the police were about to tow my car. So I had to run my chubby self back. The police... wanted to treat me like I was a criminal. I kind of threw out who my employer is. You notice that I have my face covered because the last protest I was at, people complained to my employer about my personal business and my beliefs and what I stand for. So again, they wanted to treat me like I was a criminal. Just so much is going on in the world, and I don't understand it. I don't understand. Those guys premeditated that. They were there. They were there at our rally. They were watching. They were listening. How could you do that to people? I don't understand what this world is coming to. I love you too, baby girl. You know, there was kids there. There was elders there. We have on video that they drove around one time already and were just like yelling slanderous things, saying F you. I just don't understand it. And that's when they came back around again. We had taken over the street. Yes, we did. But we did it peacefully. We did it in the sidewalk. So they came revving their engine. My phone had died. It was beautiful. You should have seen us. We were singing. We were praying. We were supporting one another. We're supporting our community. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And for people to come and just feel like you have a right. That was a hate crime. This was a hate crime that happened. This was premeditated. This was premeditated. So just to update, once I'm finished here, once I get everybody together, I had to run back so I could get some sage to run back over there. So we could pray. We all came together so we could pray for the woman that was hit. Again, this was a grandmother that was there with her grandkids who was leaving for Standing Rock tomorrow. I just can't believe like something like this happened in my own backyard. I'm sorry. My emotions are so, I have not had a chance to process this. And just now dealing with the police, like, again, being treated like I'm a criminal, like I've done something wrong. I'm a mom. I'm a member of this community. I work. I do everything that I'm supposed to do. I have a good heart. I love my brothers and my sisters. We're all connected. You and me, we're all connected. We will not stand for this. This is not to be tolerated. We have a right to voice our opinions. We have a right to express ourselves. Again, my face is covered because the last protest I was at, members of my community took it upon themselves to go to my employers because they didn't agree with what I believe in. And my parents didn't raise a weak woman. I will stand up. I will stand for my people. I will stand 100%. I don't care if you're white, you're black, you're Mexican, you're native, you're Asian. We are one. When are we going to get this through our heads? We are one. We are one. We need to love one another. We need to respect one another. No, Vic, I believe her name was Kitty. Again, she was a grandmother with two grandkids. She was getting ready to go to Standing Rock tomorrow. I just needed to take a minute to vent and to give an update to everybody. I don't know if my feed of the scene went to Facebook. My phone was like at 5%. It died during while I was airing. Again, per police, they caught them. I can't believe this. All the times that I've been out here standing for and with our people, I've never encountered anything like this. Never. And to run over women. So this is what I ask from my community. Once we find out what's going on with these two individuals, I will be at the court hearing. I will be at everything. I will make sure that they pay for what they have done. It was premeditated. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I'm just kind of giving an update. Our peaceful protest went a little awry tonight. One of our women was ran over by two males in a pickup truck. My heart is just aching right now. I come back. The police are trying to tow my car. I get to my car. They're trying to treat me like I'm a criminal. Thank you to one of the homies that stood by me because my phone was dead. He made sure that my civil rights weren't being violated. This is just craziness. It's craziness that this happened in our own backyard. You know, we were with prayer, we were with song, we were with Sage. Again, just my message to everybody, we need to love one another. We need to come together for one another. We need to realize that you're my brother, you're my sister, and I love you. We need to just stand strong, stand strong. I don't even know what to say. I'm sorry I had to move my car. I'm now parked somewhere. I'm trying to charge my phone. I'm just trying to get the word out. They have been caught. The word is they have been caught. I'm going to, in just a minute, I'm going to go meet with everybody else. AIM president is still here on scene. And I'm going to try to go to the hospital. I don't really know her name. I'm going to go to the hospital and check on her. Make sure that her grandkids are okay. Again, the woman that was hit was a grandmother here at our rally with her grandkids. And she was getting ready to go to Standing Rock tomorrow to stand with our relatives out there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. As you can see, like, my emotions just got to me. And this is like therapy right now with the world. So please share. Please share that we will not tolerate violence. We will not tolerate not being heard. We have the right to speak. We have the right to come together. We have the right to pray. We have the right to express ourselves. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, everybody, who supports me and what I do, and because I do it for you. One love, one love, one love. And I'm out.
On Friday, October 7th, from 6 to 8 p.m., the Unitarian Universalist Church of Bismarck Mandan held a teach-in featuring speakers Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, Candy Mossett of the Indigenous Environmental Network, and Lila Spoonhunter of the International Indigenous Youth Council regarding the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's fight against the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Welcome to the home of Unitarianism and Universalism in Bismarck, Mandan. We are very honored to share this space and this time with you. Thank you so much for being here. I am pleased to be with you, and our congregation is pleased to host this event in collaboration with many, many, many people.
Here is a speech given by Candy Mossett at the event.
I'm going to introduce myself in Hiradze. Rosha Maragua, Marashima A Ishuya Hetz. Hello, relatives. My name is Eagle Woman. My English name is Candy Mossett, and I am Mandan Hiradze Rikra. Grew up in Newtown, North Dakota. Anybody know where that is? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah, people know where Newtown is. Got some gamblers in the room, maybe. Poor bears. I had to put a shout out for the Four Bears. So, I grew up in Newtown. And I go there today, and it's just not the same. I used to tell, geez, here you go, right away, getting emotional. I used to tell people, the worst thing that happened in Newtown, this is a community of about 1,500, right, used to be, before the oil boom started. The scariest thing, the worst thing there used to be us, the kids. I remember we were so naughty, like around this time of year particularly, Halloween, we used to go and egg the teachers' houses, sorry if there's any teachers in here, and toilet paper, it was bad. We didn't know any better. It was fun to us, that was probably the worst thing that used to happen when I was a little growing up there. And then in 2005, the Energy Policy Act was passed. And in that act, there's something known as the Halliburton Loophole, which allowed the oil and gas industry to be exempt from the Clean Drinking Water Act and the Safe Drinking Water Act. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, it's not a coincidence that at the time, Vice President of the country was Dick Cheney. Mm-hmm. At the time, he was the CEO of Halliburton. And that is how this whole fracking thing took off. And we didn't really understand in our community what was going to happen at that time. There was nobody that came in and did teach-ins or community sessions. Nobody told us what was going to happen with the oil boom. All we heard was how great it was going to be and how rich we were going to be. And for a lot of people living with so much transgenerational drama, trauma, over all these years, the thought of being able to have some money and lift ourselves up out of poverty was really tempting for a lot of people, including our tribal council. So when the oil industry came, they basically told our folks, you either give land to us or we're going to take it. And they did. They've been bullying people throughout North Dakota. They've been bullying farmers and ranchers. They've been using eminent domain here and in Iowa. And so we just started seeing all this truck traffic, all these semi-trucks coming into our communities, like truck after truck after truck, to the point where they had to close down lunchtime. You couldn't walk downtown anymore from the school because it was a dangerous situation. They were coming right through Main Street. And in 2008, I had a friend that was driving home from Minot to get groceries, and I remember she took her dad's truck. I remember her mom telling us that she took her dad's truck because it was a big truck and she felt safe. And one of those semis was passing her on Highway 23, which is a two-lane road, and there was a car coming, and so he swerved back in. He didn't have enough clearance, enough space, so he actually hit her. And she veered into the ditch, and he veered into the ditch. And that semi landed on top of that truck. And Cassie died. And she was one of the first fatalities of the trucks there. She was 23 years old. And she was really awesome. She was that girl that walked in the room and had a big old smile. And everybody just liked her. She watched everybody's kids. She was going to go into environmental management because she said that was inspiring to her. I got my master's degree in environmental management. And she wanted to do that too. And so that happened in 2008. And after that, there were so many more deaths by semi-trucks. They were killing people that were running alongside the road, pulling out in front of traffic. The last count I had was 48. And so there was an issue with the oil industry. How are we going to transport this oil? Well, let's go oil by rail. And so as you heard from Winona, oil by rail created all these bomb trains that started blowing up because Bakken oil is very explosive. And people said, we can't go oil by rail anymore, so let's have a pipeline. Dakota Access Pipeline. Move the oil out from the Bakken to the rest of the country this way. It's the safest way. But it's not. If you look at the statistics, it's the silent killer. It's the one that when it leaks, you don't hear about it as much as an exploding train. It's like death by a thousand cuts because people get sick. This is a huge fossil fuel state. We already have 7 coal-fired power plants here. Every single bit of our over 11,000 miles of rivers, lakes, and streams is contaminated with mercury as a result of the coal industry here. Our kids have asthmas, and we have cancers on the reservation like you would not believe. I used to think it was normal that my cousin, uncle, brother, grandpa had cancer. So when I was 20 and in college and was diagnosed with a stage 4 sarcoma tumor, I thought, okay, well, here's my turn now. And I was like, why is this happening and what's going to happen to me? Everybody around me was crying because that's not a survivable cancer. That was, I'm going to age myself now, 17 years ago. So I'm standing here today for some reason. But I have friends that are my same age that I had children. that had like uterine cancers and stuff, and they didn't make it. And their babies are now orphans. I have a 3-year-old daughter. She's playing in the back. Thank you so much to everybody that organized this and to have a little daycare and playroom back there. It's really hard having a 3-year-old that can't ride her. She loves it. She loves riding the horses and playing and going to the teepees. And it's so crazy to see her innocence, and she has no idea. And I think that's what this is about. We're speaking on behalf of those that don't even have a voice yet for their own future. Not only the babies, but everything that swims in the water. All the four-legged, all of the winged, everything that flies. We're starting to pull fish out of Lake Sakakawea, probably out of the Missouri River, but definitely the Lake Sakakawea, that are deformed. There's tumors, there's cancers. Walleye, northern, bass, all of that. We're starting to pull them out and they're sick. When I was little, we used to swim like fish in that lake. Lake Sakakawea is a reservoir on the Missouri River. As a result of the Pick Sloan Act, 5 dams were built, all below reservations, flooded up that patch of land. So Lake Oahe is the drinking source for Standing Rock. Lake Sakakawea is the drinking source for Fort Berthold. That happened in the late 40s, early 50s. We were forcibly removed, and now we're trying to protect this, and this is being polluted. It's not just this pipeline. It's a whole historical context about what's happening and what has been happening, and it's got to end. Being here, oh my God, being in camp, being here in this room, seeing all of you here, it just gives me the goosebumps, because this is North Dakota, and we've never seen this level of pushback against the fossil fuel industry. It's amazing. I see so many different people, ages, races, and it's like, people are finally getting it. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter your shoe size. It doesn't matter your religious background. It doesn't matter where you come from. We are humanity. We're in it together. Whatever happens to anyone is going to happen to all of us. North Dakota is not some, like Winona said, we're not in a bubble. Well, the way I describe it is, we're not in that. When I was little, I used to go swimming in the swimming pool, and I used to stay in the deep end, because all the little kids are in the shallow end. And how many of you little kids, when you were little, really had to go, and you didn't actually get out of the pool? How many? How many of you were there? Like, we have 5 honest people in this room. And I was like, I'm going to stay in the deep end, because all those little kids are being over there. I had to realize that I wasn't safe in the deep end, because water moves. Yeah, air moves. Why do we say Mother Earth? It's not that hard of a concept to wrap your mind around. When a mother cares for her baby, they keep them alive, you know, at least the first 5 years or so. You know, feed them, all that kind of stuff. Well, that's what our Earth, our mother, does for us. How can we continue to be on this planet if we can't even grow anything in our soil because we contaminate it so much? Think about the push for vitamins these days. People take vitamins because our soil is so sick already that we literally can't get enough nutrients from the food we eat, even if it's all organic. That's a scary concept. We are protecting the water because it is urgent. It is so urgent. It's not 200 years from now. It's not when we run out of fossil fuels. It is now. We are at a major, major, major point as humanity. And we're either going to survive together, or we're going to die together and not be on this planet. Because we cannot live here if we do not have clean drinking water. And we cannot live here if we cannot breathe the air. And Natives have never changed our story. Native Americans have been saying for over 500 years, maybe more, capitalism, colonization is not sustainable. You cannot take and take and take and take and take without losing anything. So what do we do as individuals? Go back home, spread the word to others. sometimes the hardest people to do that to is your own family members. I have family members that work in the industry. That's how I get the inside scoop on how crazy it is. They tell me, man, this is not regulated, it's dangerous. These companies are doing this that's crooked, this that's crooked. I get that inside story because my brothers and cousins and uncles are like, hey sis, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry that I do this, but you know, it's a job. And at the casino, you know, it's like $9 an hour, and roughnecking, it's $25 an hour. So then this whole thing came up. First it was no semis, then it was no trains, then it was no pipelines, and then it was like, well, what are you for? You know, you just want to take everyone's jobs away. That's not true. We care about those workers more than that oil company ever will. The oil companies only care about the money at the end of the day. That's the bottom line. They don't care what stuff those oil workers are taking home to their children. It's on their clothes. It's in their hair. All these laundromats around here started shutting down. They wouldn't let oil workers wash their stuff anymore because you had all of this buildup, this gunk that was coming out of the industry. And so we decided, you know, to push back on our tribal council at Fort Berthold. Because what they did on December 2nd of 2015 was sign a right-of-way for Dakota Access Pipeline to go across our Buffalo Ranch. Because they said that the oil company told them, if you do not sign this right-of-way, we will condemn the land and we will put the pipeline there anyway and you'll get nothing. Do I wish they had just stood up then? Yes. But it was our youth and our kids last June that marched out there, marched across the bridge, and marched into a tribal council meeting and said, look at us and hear us. We are the youth. This is impacting us now and into the future, and you're going to listen to us. And the tribal council was like, okay, they changed their minds. But in the white man's world, you can't just say, I changed my mind, because contracts were signed, and so now our tribe is being sued by these companies. Paradigm, Persicacawea Pipeline, which incidentally is already underneath the Missouri River. They bored that one underneath July 17th and 18th. And then a whistleblower from the industry said they didn't even paint it, they didn't even do all the rust inhibition in, rust stuff where you paint it on the inside, they didn't do any of that. They were trying to get it under the ground so fast. Where are we right now in Bismarck, North Dakota? We are downstream. Everybody's downstream. There are 18 million people downstream. So it's not just North Dakota fight. It's all of us. And you know what's crazy? In the very beginning, people were saying, you're nuts. You're not going to win. It's already 60% built. They're still saying this. Just give it up. They're going to build it. That's what they said about Keystone XL pipeline. We all know how that turned out, right? So, yeah. We're still fighting, but, I mean, come on. You should read some of these articles. The oil companies are like, oh my God, we're losing money. And what are we going to do if we have to reroute? It's going to be so much money. And we're like, don't worry, you're not going to reroute. You're just not going to build it. You know what I mean? And so it's stop this pipeline, yes. But then change the whole story.
Yes.
Change the whole story about how we operate as humanity. We don't need the fossil fuel industry. We don't need to be digging and raping and pillaging the earth and causing that, rape and pillage to us. We don't need that. We have a better way. There's so much propaganda that people are so brainwashed to believe that this is the only way. And it's not true. Do not believe the propaganda. North Dakota, if we had turbines everywhere, I'm not saying we'd want to do that, the big ones everywhere, could power this country. North Dakota, all by our little selves.
Yes.
I mean, it's mind-boggling, and yet here all of the subsidies, the tax subsidies and all that, are going to the oil and gas industry. So what do? We push back. And we have a lovely lady here that a lot of people love here in North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp. Heidi was like, you know what, I'm going to work with the Native people, and I'm going to work on the Violence Against Women Act, and I'm going to work with the children, and that's great. But Heidi is not making the connection between violence against women and the oil industry.
Yes.
It's completely separate in her mind, and that's wrong. When the oil industry started in Fort Berthold, the violence against women increased by 168%. The worst story I heard was a little child running away from a man cub, naked. It was found that she had been sexually assaulted. She was 4 years old. That's one story. The drugs came with that oil industry. The heroin killed 3 of my friends so far. 2 young girls, 1 25. The other one my age. The one my age left behind 5 children because she couldn't get off her addiction to heroin and there was no services because the cops are busy running around dealing with all the crime. But there's a reality that we have to face here as North Dakotans and as people watching around the world, and that reality is that we could be our own destruction. Yes. Or we could be our own saviors. Oh. We can do this. I know we can, because I wouldn't have had a daughter if I didn't have hope. That's the one thing we can never give up, is our hope. And I believe that just by having a voice, we can make a change, because we are not guaranteed to win by speaking up. We're not. But we are 100% guaranteed to fail if we don't at least try. And I'm going to try, and I want you to try with me. I'm going to say thank you. Please, please, please do what you can to help us as we continue to get ready for winter. A lot of the folks that are standing in solidarity just are not wrapping their mind around North Dakota winter. This past week was a good awakening. They were like, oh my God, it gets cold here. And I was like, it gets colder. You know? There's the sun rings that you can see that are showing that the winter is going to be really cold, and or the Farmer's Almanac, you can read that one too, that are talking about this one's going to dump on us. Don't worry when people say, what about climate change then? Because that's just ignorant. We do still get snow. So we need warm things like canvas tents and wood stoves. We're going to build earth lodges. There's this talk about tiny houses coming in that are then going to be donated for homeless folks. There's all these exciting things happening, because when we defeat the pipeline, the legacy will live on. We want to build cultural centers and interpretive centers where people can come to the site where the natives came together and defeated a pipeline and created a movement for the world. And now you're all a part of that, so give yourselves a round of applause for being here.
Hello, this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp. I'm with KPPPLP, 88.1 FM, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And I'm at the Universalist Unitarian Church in Bismarck. There's, I don't know, probably 100, 150 people here to hear the Tri-Woman panel that just spoke to us, Winona LaDuke, Candy Mossett from the Indigenous Environmental Network, and Layla Spoonhunter with the Indigenous Youth Council. You folks, I met some folks here in the break room that came from very far away, one of them from California, two of them from Washington, and I wanted you to introduce yourself and tell me what brings you all the way to Bismarck, North Dakota.
Hi, my name is Julianne Panagakos. I'm here from Washington State, and I'm here to stand in solidarity. I'm here to protect the water, and I'm here to give what I can to the camp and to be of service and support the effort for protection. This water is life.
How long ago did you get here?
I got here a week ago.
Wow. And now it's getting cold, right?
Got pretty cold.
Yeah. Does it get that cold where you're from in Washington? You're pretty far north, right?
Yeah, it gets this cold, but it's a really different kind of cold. It's not this windy, that's for sure.
That's right. So do you think that the way in which this movement, because I think it's gone beyond just a protest or an action to try to stop a pipeline. Do you think that this movement is getting the recognition in the country, in the media, that it needs? And if not, why not?
Well, I think that it's starting to get media coverage in different ways. I think that a big friend of Standing Rock and of this movement for protecting the water and against the Dakota Access Pipeline has been social media and the ability to amplify lay voices. A lot of the corporate media is controlled by people with power, people with money, and those are the same people that want this pipeline to go through, and they're trying to get it in the ground as quickly as possible. So I'm here to help protect the water, help stop that from happening, slow it down.
I thank you for coming. I'm really impressed that you guys came from such a far away distance. And, you know, there's people that are sitting right here in Bismarck, where you're sitting now, that just don't understand what this whole thing over there at Standing Rock is about. Their state was the largest oil-producing state in the country. And while all the other states were going through a recession, people in North Dakota were doing pretty good because of the oil money, because of the boom in the Bakken. So they're having a hard time understanding why folks like you are here. Can you please try to explain to them what you know about what's happening here that maybe the people that are isolated or insulated in the state of North Dakota don't know? What made you feel like this was an important thing to take a stand on?
Sure. Well, I'm here because that all water is connected. I mean, we learn in elementary school, we learn all through our schooling that all water is connected. Rivers flow to oceans. Oceans come back around. And so pollution anywhere is pollution everywhere. And that affects all of us. The oil money is short-term cash, and it's going to go away real quick as soon as the pipeline companies have what they want, which is to be finished. And it's going to leave disease. It's going to leave devastation to the land, and that's irreversible. So that's a lot of why I'm here. I believe in people's movements. I believe this is a human rights issue, and I'm here for the water. I'm here for the humans and all the other spiritual creatures that don't have a voice in this.
Do you not believe the National Guard and the Morton County Sheriff's Department or the DAPL workers who say that they're going to help create energy independence for America or jobs, or that the people at the Sacred Stone Camp are committing hundreds of crimes, I think the lieutenant governor and the Morton County Sheriff have said? Are those things that you do not believe?
Well, I guess I'll start by saying that the way that a lot of the confrontations have happened is that as Candy Moss has said, that a lot of the protesters show up with feathers and with sage and with prayers, and the way the cops show up is with guns, literally shotguns, loaded rounds that have been pointed at people and at animals. Have shown up with full riot gear, batons, rubber bullets, chemical agents, planes flying above head. And so they're the people that are coming prepared for war. They're the people that are ready for violence, ready to do serious damage. And so in terms of what I believe, I mean, I believe what I see, and it's really obvious what's happening here. There's a people's movement to protect the water, and people are coming in all of the ways that we travel. Are coming with horses, are coming in cars and planes, and people are scrapping together whatever they have to put work into protecting this, and people are putting their bodies on the line. And in terms of what I believe of what the cops are saying and what the National Guard is saying, I think that, like I said, those things are temporary. There's no energy independence when you need a corporation to put it in the ground, when you need those kinds of people to dig it up. There's energy independence when it's crowdsourced, when it's things that are renewable. There's been so much suggestion by people that have lived here their whole lives of how capable this state is of producing solar and wind energy, and I can tell you from standing out at the camp that it's real windy and it can get real sunny even with cloud cover at times, and I truly believe that that is what is in the interest of the people.
Thank you very much for your comments. Really appreciate the interview. Yeah. And I hope that you have a great birthday.
Thank you so much.
Now for a message from Cody Hall, spokesperson of Red Warrior Camp, with a list of their winter needs.
How you doing, guys? Cody Hall here, media spokesperson for Red Warrior. I wanted to give you guys an update and let you know that winter is right around the corner, and we need your help with gift cards, Lowe's gift cards, if you have a Lowe's hardware shop nearby. Hunters, when you think of things that we need, if you're a hunter out there and you're willing to give of the game, meat, fish or deer or whatever you have that's greatly needed at the camps right now, just because of the protein that we need to have sustenance for the winter. And so, but yes, definitely the gift cards will help with building supplies, buying things. And if you're a handyman, a handy woman, and you want to lend your skills to come out here and build structures with us and help us that way too, you're more than welcome to come out here and give your support to everybody here, because we are preparing for the winter, and the winters are pretty harsh here, and so we have to be ready for that. And you know, like I said, just thinking of all these, we got a pretty, the wind comes from the northwest and the north pretty bad. And so we need to think of, you know, buying, you know, hay bales to use as a block, as a wind block, also as insulation. So, you know, just picture yourself in cold conditions and how you would survive to stay warm. And that's what we need here at the camp. And so any questions, you will find links, and you'll find the necessary items that we need. Like you said, the gift cards are going to be really appreciative and work towards buying these supplies that our handymen on the camp need to go and purchase these things. So please follow the updates that our social feeds are giving to you, and thank you for your support. Much love.
Stay tuned to KPPP LP 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead to hear more news updates and interviews from Standing Rock. Thank you for listening. Maniwichoni, water is life.
We are never powerless, and you know this. Tonight we extend our condolences to those of the children. It's a sickness, mental illness, military mindsets and its servants. It's a fact and you know that. Psychological warfare have a stem. Lavender, come and correct. We are never powerless, you know this. Live and direct, come and correct. We are never powerless, you know this. We are broadcasting.
Is the media blackout everywhere?